What I have before me this morning is a thought of fragrance. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. So the odor, the fragrance, if I may say, it's not the savor with the mouth, it's the odor with the nose. For we are unto God a sweet savor or fragrance or perfume of Christ. Our brother John Bilisoli in Walla Walla spoke to us of Egypt there in one of the talks, and he remarked how there was a stench in Egypt when the judgment of God came upon it there. And you know, this creation is characterized by that. Remember when I was in school, in closed classrooms? Now they've got improved ventilation, but if you put a 30 or 35 people in one room for an hour or two, and you come back in that room after, you'll see it's not very pleasant, the odor that comes from that. We keep washing our bodies, because if we don't, the fragrance of them isn't very nice. Well, here is something that is a delight for God. The sweet savor of Christ. When Noah came out of the ark, he offered a burnt offering, and the Lord smelt the sweet savor. Was reminding him of that one who would be the fulfillment of all these types in the Old Testament, of all these sacrifices which could never take away sin. The beloved Lord Jesus, His beloved Son, who would come and satisfy His righteousness and make known His character of light and love. Well, you know, in the Gospel of John, you're familiar with that. Mary, she broke that vessel. She had an alabaster box, and the house was filled with the odor of the perfume. And I think of that, you know, as when we come together and the Spirit of God produces worship, the very house of God, in the presence of God, He can smell that. And how pleasant to Him to have that fragrance of Christ. Well, I'd just like to turn to the 133rd Psalm, first of all. Then we'll spend a few moments in Exodus. Verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Well, you know, we had this in the meetings yesterday, that word acceptable. We have a word acceptable in the will of God, which is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That word acceptable really is pleasant, agreeable, something that's pleasant, that's nice. And it says here, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. I'd like to just suggest this thought here. It is always good for brethren to dwell together. But it is not always pleasant. But it is always good. And it is good and pleasant when they dwell together in unity. And this is what God would have us dwell together in unity. You know, if you're going to the dentist, it's a good thing. But it's not a pleasant thing. And it's good for us to dwell together because we need each other. We need each other to grow. And we need each other to set us straight, you might say, to realign our course, to refix our vision on the Lord. We need each other. And it is the Lord's desire that we would go on together in that which is good and pleasant. It's not only pleasant for us, it is pleasant for Him. This is something that is impressed upon my soul, and I know I bring it often when I speak to others that, you know, the Lord Jesus died for me. And this is just beyond me when we sit together around the Lord Jesus and we're brought in a measure each one to consider the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. And it is individually for each one of us. And that's what we say when we partake of the emblems, don't we? We are showing the Lord's death, each one of us, and we're showing it for us. And I know, dear young people, we've been speaking about knowing the will of the Lord for your life. And we had these verses on sanctification yesterday. But I believe, dear ones, that if you know the Lord Jesus, your Savior, I believe it is the desire of the Lord that you would remember Him in death. That what He has done for you would be fresh to your soul moment by moment. And I know it isn't for me. We get occupied and distracted by this world, but from week to week I can tell you what precious moments for our souls when we're brought back to consider what the Lord Jesus has done for the Father's glory, but personally for you. But you know, He also died to gather into one the children of God, which were dispersed. He also, we could be selfish and just think for ourselves, but this is part of the work of the Lord Jesus in giving Himself, that He might gather us in one, to have us together. How good and how pleasant to dwell together in unity. And yet, if we dwell together, we can warm ourselves up. You can warm yourself up in enjoying the Lord together. Sometimes we get warmed up by friction, and that's a good thing. Not a pleasant thing. Friction is not a pleasant thing, but it's a good thing because it can bring us to a greater measure of likeness to the Lord Jesus. And you can help me that way, and I trust I can help you that way. And as the Father sees us grow in the likeness of His Son, He says, we're perfect in Him. And as He looks at us in Christ, we're perfect. And as He looks at us practically, He would say, they give me special delight. Additional delight in walking in practically in what they have in my Son. Well, here, I would just like to use this illustration because the precious ointment comes from the head and runs down upon the beard and the skirts of the garment. And this is priesthood, you know. And this precious ointment, we'll be looking at that. That had a fragrance. That had a fragrance. And this is it came from the head, but then it went down right to the hems of the garment. And I think that speaks of testimony. The garment speaks of testimony. And isn't it wonderful that we could be, even at this late hour, the hem of the garment, just before the Lord comes, that the Father could look down and see a reflection in your life and mine of His Son, and see and smell the sweetness of Christ in your life and mine. And that also He would have brought to His nostrils when we're together that fragrance that there was in the sanctuary, where everything literally was anointed with the same oil. And let's just look at that now. And that's in Exodus chapter 30, verse 22. Exodus 30, verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices. I have it in my French Darby, the most excellent spices. There are none more excellent. Take thou also unto thee the more excellent spices of pure myrrh, of free-flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary or the perfumer. It shall be an oily, holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his vessels, and the laver on his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall ye make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compounded any like it, or whosoever put it any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. Well, here is given to us by the Spirit of God the composition of that holy anointing oil that we have brought before us in the 133rd Psalm. Now, these measures, 500 shekels, that's about 15 pounds. So half, 250 shekels is 7.5 pounds or something. And a hin of olive oil, or olive oil, is about a gallon, close to a gallon. So I just think that this brings before us a human measure, you might say. Human measures. And you know, what this speaks of, as you walk into the sanctuary, maybe outside that altar of burnt offerings, it was anointed with that. Perhaps you didn't feel as much the fragrance. Once you got into the holy place, that was a closed place there, you would have smelt that. You said, I was brought up in the Catholic Church, and we used to go to church. We would enter into this building, and they would burn incense there, and there was a fragrance there. And I remember, you know, as a young man, they're going in there in the first few years, perhaps, where there was still a reverence for God. There was ignorance there, but there was reverence for God, and it was a quiet place. When you went into church, it had a different smell, and it was a place where there was the fear of God, and you walked quietly, and you didn't talk. And it's no longer like that anymore. I've been to on other occasions to for funerals and stuff, and you know, the behavior has changed a lot. But this is the sanctuary of God. Didn't know that when I was in the Catholic Church, but I've been brought into this now, and so have you. A type in the Old Testament of where they entered the holy place. And as you can just see from these verses, themselves had been anointed with that holy anointing oil and everything else in there. And it had a smell. Everything smelled the same. You know, sometimes you smell something and it's sweet, but it's too sweet. Sometimes my girls, they get a bottle of perfume and they put that on. Says, "It smells good, Daddy." "Yeah, it smells good." Or my wife, she'll put some on in the car when the windows are closed. And these things are made to smell for hours and hours, miles of a distance. You know, I says, "Is that too much?" No. But I just use that illustration here because this perfume is different. There's never too much of it. And you never have enough of it. God put it on everything. It was for his nostrils. Oh, the sweetness for him. The fragrance of Christ. I don't know much about it, but I enjoy a little bit. Here was the composition of it. It was excellent spices, the most excellent spices. So nobody can be compared with our Lord, and no, we're going to be made perfectly like him. God finds his delight in us now through him. There's this one, the most excellent one, the one who was perfect in every way, every thought, every movement of his soul and of his body, a delight for the heart of the Father. Well, the first one is pure myrrh, or free-flowing myrrh. Myrrh you get from a little shrub, and it's like resin, I believe. And it just comes out like you would have fine resin on pine trees. And this is how you get myrrh. But the way they get myrrh is they make little nicks on the shrub, and that opens it up, and then so the sap comes out, the resin comes out, and that's how they gather it. But this is free-flowing myrrh. It's just poured out by itself. The Lord Jesus came into the world to suffer. We suffer in this. We don't come into the world to suffer. But we suffer. But the Lord Jesus came into the world to suffer, offering Himself, free-flowing myrrh. That's what I have in my heart as I consider that. And these, I know, are not exclusive thoughts. You know, there are many other thoughts I'm sure you can enjoy. But then, and it says, sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and sweet calamus, or aromatic reed. That's how it reads in the French Bible. That 250 suggests to me that this was their combined measure to get 500 like the other. It's a combination of things, you know. You know, in our lives as believers, this is something we need, and this is why we need our brethren so much too. One thing that we need is balance. It's balance. God is light and God is love. There's righteousness and there's grace. And sometimes we're over here and sometimes we're over there and sometimes we got 200 of that and we're missing all the rest. But the Lord Jesus, 250 shekels of each. Cinnamon, I think you got from the bark of a tree, which speaks of his outward testimony. And the sweet calamus, or the aromatic reed, brings before me, like John the Baptist was spoken of as a reed in the desert, tossed by the wind, of the words of the Lord Jesus as the prophet of God. And you know, they asked the Lord Jesus to who he was. He says, absolutely that which I say unto you. It's perfect balance. Everything he said, he was. Everything he said, he was. I can tell you, I will confess this before you, dear brethren. I say a lot more than what I am practically. But I seek, by the Lord's help, to be more practically what the Lord has given me to enjoy in my heart. But the Lord Jesus, perfect in every way. The things which he did and taught were perfect. Perfect balance. Not one discrepancy. And then it says, the last one was cassia, 500 shekels. And I've had the thought of cassia there as it brings before us in the 45th Psalm also, part of his garments. The thought of beauty, moral beauty. Here's this young boy of 12. Anybody here 12? The father could see him in the temple there, about his business, about his father's business when he was 12. This blessed one who could order the universe into being by his word, he could calm the sea and the tempest by one word, spends the night in prayer before he chooses his disciples. He's bowed down in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but thine be done. What moral beauty as a man before his God, perfect in every way. Oh, God could look down, couldn't he, from his birth right up to Mount Calvary there and find delight in every moment of the life of the Lord Jesus. So that, and then it was, shall be with the anointing oil, the olive oil, speaks to us of, we know, the Holy Spirit. Here's the Lord Jesus, perfect man and perfect God. When does he start his public ministry? Well, after the baptism of John in the power of the Spirit of God. What an example for you and me. If one was self-sufficient, here was a man who was God manifest in flesh. And he goes forth in the power of the Spirit. Can you do without that? Can you do without dependence? Oh, let us consider the beauty of our Lord Jesus and seek by God's grace to be more like him. Well, you see, this was put on everything in the sanctuary, and it was put on Aaron and his son, so they ministered before the Lord. This is the very life that you and I have. This is the fragrance that God has given us before Himself, the sweet savor of Christ, not only to this world, but to the Father. What a privilege. But then, says they weren't to make anything like that. This was perfume, fragrance. It was put on things there to be enjoyed by the Lord. And surely when we come to our Father and we speak to Him of the Lord Jesus, as we enjoy this about the Lord or that about the Lord, as we consider His life down here, as we share thoughts of Himself with one another, this is the fragrance of this beautiful one. According to the art of the perfumer, and I believe the Spirit of God does that to us, doesn't He? He takes this precious book and He opens our understanding and He shows us Christ from the very beginning, right to the end, in one way or another, to enjoy it in fellowship with the heart of the Father. Well, then we get to verse 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices, stacte, and onycha, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary or perfumer, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy. And as for the incense, really, as for the perfume, the incense which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy to the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that, the smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. So the Lord repeats this, the exclusivity, if I may use the word, of this, not only the holy ointment, but this incense it was. I know it says perfume here, but I believe it's incense. That's what it says in my French Darby. And I believe this is what was burnt on the altar of incense. You know what strikes me here? When it refers to the holy ointment, there were measures. 500 shekels of this, 250 shekels of that, one hin of olive oil. But when you get here to the holy incense, how much of it was there? I don't know. And you know, I will never know. I will never know how much there was. I believe these holy ointment speaks to us primarily of the life of the Lord Jesus. And that this holy incense speaks to us of the death of the Lord Jesus. And this is why I believe in connection with redemption, just like the weight of the brass could not be found out, I cannot measure. These things that are typified, I believe, in the elements that were used to make the compound. These things were brought together to be holy incense. So, which was the first one? There were sweet spices, and this is what they were, stacte. As far as I understand, stacte is really myrrh. But if you took a drop of myrrh, a drop of that resin, you probably would find that the outside was a bit, not thick, but it would have a certain rigidity to it. But if you cut it open, you would find inside the liquid form of it. No contact, you might say, with the outside air that kind of dries the resin, but the inside was still soft. And it brings before me the hidden suffering of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps we can see in our minds, you know, His head crowned with thorns, and
what it would have been like to have his hands pierced and his side and his feet, and to have his back scourged and to be beaten with fists and spit upon. We can maybe relate to that because we have physical bodies and we suffer in our bodies, you know. And we could say maybe appreciate in a measure. And though we can't get to that, but we can relate. We have a body that can suffer. But his soul's distress. We have suffering in our souls, but his soul's distress. Who can measure? Who can measure what it meant to the Lord to go through that? To have contact with sin. To be that very which he hated by nature. I can't understand. The Father understands. And this fragrance of that holy incense was burned in the tabernacle. And God could appreciate that. And he could bear, couldn't he, with this people that were so stubborn? He could bear with them because he could have the fragrance of Christ in that tabernacle until he came. Well, the other one is onycha. And I read that onycha is something that comes from seashells. That's how it's made. It comes from the depths of the seas. You know, look out, I think it's the Pacific Ocean probably has got the deepest abysses, and some of them perhaps they haven't measured, you know, probably deeper in contrast with Mount Everest. And probably some of the abysses in the sea are so deep, you know. It's just dark in there, and you have some creatures down there that don't have eyes even. They don't need eyes. They can't see anything. It's so dark. It's pretty deep, you know. It's not very deep. Psalm 69. You know these verses. Verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. It says in Genesis chapter 1, let the waters gather in one place and let the dry land appear. It doesn't make sense to my mind. If you gather the water in one place, you're going to be a lake. And the earth's going to be around it. The waters were gathered in one place. And they went into his soul. It doesn't say waters have come in into my soul. No, it doesn't say waters. It says the waters. Can you measure the water in the Atlantic, Pacific, Arctic, Indian Ocean? Can you measure that? That's nothing. The waters have come into my soul. Verse 2. I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Look at that little note. Verse 6. It doesn't say the deep waters. It says the depth of the waters. Is there a difference? Oh, yes, there's a difference. You could probably measure the depth of the waters in the Pacific Ocean. But the depths of these waters, you cannot measure. And whatever the depth was, he says, I am come into the depth of the waters. Can you measure that, dear one? Can you measure the waters that came into his soul? Can you measure the depth of the waters to which he went? I can't. And I don't believe in eternity I will be able to measure that. But I can tell you I'm going to appreciate it even more than I am now. We're going to appreciate it forever as we see the blessed Lord Jesus and enjoy the glories of his person. How great thou art! And to think that this great person, this almighty one, went there. And he took that upon himself. Praise the Lord, ye who know him. Well, this is what Annika speaks to me about. The depths of the waters that he went into. And then the next verse, the next one is called, I believe, Galbanum. And this one, I read, apparently, Galbanum doesn't smell nice. It smells nice when it's compounded with other elements, but by itself, it doesn't have a pleasant odor. And you know, the disciples said, oh, he doesn't have a good odor. We better go this way. And Peter said, oh, that's not a very good odor. I don't know him. And Judas said, that's not a very good odor. Give me 30 pieces of silver. And the people of Israel said, that's not a very good odor. Away with him, crucify him. And then when he's on the cross, made sin, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he was abandoned there because he was made sin for us. So I think Galbanum speaks of his rejection, denial, betrayal, forsaking, abandonment. And then they mix these spices with pure frankincense. And each shall be there a like weight. You know, we'll be around the Lord in a few moments, and we'll be going back to Calvary together, and perhaps we'll be, we don't know what the Spirit of God will bring before us, perhaps some of the depths that he went through, perhaps the rejection, perhaps the sufferings of his soul, perhaps a mixture of these, perhaps the fire, because this is how this perfume, this incense, brought its fragrance when it was consumed on the altar. It was burned. And you know, the Lord said in the Lamentations, prophetically, that the fire had come into his bones. Psalm 22 also has thoughts there about fire, reduced to ashes. And I don't know what it's going to be, you know, but I know last week, the week before, and for the past 30 years, and some of you will tell me for 50 years, for 60 years, we've been coming together around the Lord on the first day of the week, and the Spirit of God has touched our hearts with this and that about the same person. In fellowship with the heart of the Father, who has a full appreciation of all the fragrances of Christ, of his life and of his death. But you know, here's poor little me brought into this. What is that? Oh, what grace from our God and Father to take us. I don't like this word stinking, but ill-smelling sinners, if that's a proper word. And he just washes us. And how does he wash us? Through this one, of which he fully appreciates the fullness of his character, the beauty of his person, and of his work. And he says, I want you. I want you in my sanctuary. This is what the measures were. It was the shekel of the sanctuary. It was God's appreciation of the work of Christ. Dear ones, this morning, it's not your appreciation of the work of Christ that counts. It's the appreciation of the Father. And he is delighted. And he is going to be delighted forever. He's satisfied forever. But you know, he's going to be delighted this morning. He's going to be delighted this morning in the scene, in the very scene where we spit upon this blessed one and hit him with our fist and we hated him with all the cause. In this very scene, here we are, men of the very same nature, that did this to the blessed Savior, here we are, with hearts touched and mouths open to sing His praises, to thank the Father, to appreciate in a measure, because a small measure, some of this beauty and delight of our Father's heart. Well, it says then, thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art, or an incense, was composed incense after the art of the apothecary or perfumer, temperate together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small and put it on before the testimony of the congregation. Very small. The heavens cannot contain him. The heavens cannot contain him. Yet there he is. There never was a smaller man. You want to be big? You want to be important? We want to be chief men among the brethren? He that is greater among you, let him be the smallest. It was beaten very small. It was already small. It was the smallest. But he went down, and he went down, and he went down to the death of the cross. So nothing was to be made like it. It was not to be put, the ointment wasn't to be put on flesh. And I trust, dear ones, that as we consider the beauty of this person, those things that the Lord has given us in the Scriptures, that we're made quiet in His presence. You know, you think of the sufferings of Job, surely a man that was afflicted greatly, and we can have real sympathy with Job for what he went through. Nothing to be compared with what the Lord went through. But his friends, when they came, you know, and they saw his affliction, you know what they said? You know what they said? They didn't say anything for 7 days. They just sat there and were quiet. And you know, I believe that sometimes they're beautiful worship hymns. There are. But you know, sometimes I believe the Spirit of God can so grip our souls with the Lord's presence and the glory of His person and His work that we really have. What words could we use to describe, to express? And if Job's affliction led these ones to be quiet in His presence, how fitting for us to be quiet in the Lord's presence. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't sing, pray at all, but the disposition of our spirits to be quiet. And I believe that if we're quiet, the Spirit of God Himself, God Himself by His Spirit, will move us, will touch us, will bring thoughts to us, as He does. I'm sure this is the way it is. I just like to remind ourselves of that. Verses. And produce this collective worship to this Blessed One in the presence of our God and Father and the Lord Jesus. You enjoying this in a measure, dear ones? Are we enjoying this, dear ones, in a measure? You know, when we speak of being gathered to the Lord's name, there are many things we need to learn, and we'll learn them on the way. But I can tell you, dear young people, when I was gathered to the Lord's name, I didn't know I was being gathered to the Lord's name. I didn't know that. But I knew that this Blessed One loved me so much that He died for me. And that this Blessed One who loved me so much to die for me told me, you want to remember me? And by God's grace, I was found in in the company of those that wanted to give the Lord the desire of his heart. And I asked not to take my place at the Lord's table. And I don't want to make an issue out of this, but I asked to remember the Lord. I asked to remember the Lord. And by God's grace, I was received in fellowship, and a little while later, I was remembering the Lord in this company. And then I grew and later found out about the wondrous truth. That's why the Lord was drawing me, because he was present. He was working in my heart. And I could feel the Spirit drawing me, but I didn't know what it was. But I knew I loved him in a measure. I loved him back for what he's done for me. Do you know the Lord Jesus, your Savior? Do you remember him like he's asked you to do? It's not joining something. We're not joining anything. The whole subject is a person. It's a person. Do you know that person? And that person says to you, remember me. You can't do that by yourself. You need to be two to remember the Lord. And you know, this is a wonderful thing, because here's two, just two believers, and they want to remember the Lord. And here they are, two believers, and they remember the Lord in death. And they think, when they take the bread and they take the wine, they take the bread, his body given for me. And then that cup of wine, that sip of wine, his precious blood for me. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. So my brother here says, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're thankful personally for the Lord Jesus. But you know, in doing this together, maybe we don't know it, but because there's this one loaf there, and actually when we remember the Lord, in the Catholic Church they had wafers, you know. And it was really terrible, but it's one loaf. And then when you take that loaf and you break it, the Lord Jesus tells us in Corinthians, this loaf is a picture of his body. And it's also a picture of his spiritual body. We, being many, are one body, one loaf. And even if we don't know it, because we've been drawn to him because of his love and what he's done for us, by coming together to remember him, we're expressing that truth, that we are one in him. It's precious to see it. We don't come to express that we are one in him. We do that. But we come to remember him. And when our affections are drawn to him, we're drawn to one another. And we're so happy when we realize the Lord says, oh, he's thinking of me, he's thinking of me. They're thinking of me. And they are one with me. I died that they would be one. And they are, all of them, one thought, one object. What a delight to the heart of the Father to have this. To have the company of these ones redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Brought to oneness. How are they brought to oneness? By the Lord Jesus himself. Is he precious to your heart this morning? Are you going to give him this morning the desire of his heart? Well, I trust you will. Just a few more minutes, just to look at 2 Samuel chapter 23. David's mighty men. There's a day coming when the true David, the Lord Jesus, is going to give his true appreciation of what was done for him. And these mighty men are brought out here as to their feat, what they did for David. Strong men, vanquishing the enemy. But it's like to read in verse 14. And David was then in hold, and the garrison of the Philistine was in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men.
Do you know the names of these three mighty men?
I don't.
Three men, unknown. Three unknown men. What did they do? Well, they risked their lives to give David a drink of water. They could have said, there's water in the well over there. I've got water right here in my bag. And there's another stream right there. Why do you want this water there? What's so special about the water of the well that's by the gate in Bethlehem? Well, I believe it's a little lesson for us. This was David's desire concerning the place of his birth. He might have drunk of that well when he was a young man, and he just had a special taste. But the greater than David has expressed a desire, not in connection with the place of his birth, but the place of his death. It's water from a well. How deep the well? The woman said to the Lord, the well is deep. How are you going to draw? I don't know how deep it is, but you can get to water pretty quick. Some water. Did they get water from the top of the well, from the bottom? They got water from the well, and they brought it to David. It was by the gate. Speaks of entrance, you know. What can we say? We read these verses, we share these thoughts. It's like we open the door and say, look at that. Can I measure the ocean? It's too vast for me. But you and I have a measure. A little measure. How much water did they bring? I don't know. But they brought some from that well. And this morning, dear ones, maybe you're just here to say, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. Well, he says, that's water from the well. That's by the gate in Bethlehem. That's water from that time when I was alone, forsaken, and no heart could answer to mine. And we've been given by his grace now to have hearts that can answer to his and bring some water to his heart. Bound prayer.